Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Well, hello, everybody. How are you? Nice to have you with us. That was a mistake. Our friendly announcer introduced Jim Masters. Jim is off today. I'm Doug Llewellyn, and I'm on today, and it's a pleasure to be here with you. It's a Monday, and mistakes usually happen on Mondays. I don't know why it is that way, but in any event, I think you're going to find this a fascinating hour, half hour, because we have an extraordinary guest with us today. We're going to be talking to Diane Hiller. You may know her, may know of her. She is an internationally recognized psychic medium, a visionary, and an innovative expert in the field of metaphysics. She is highly regarded as one of the top 100 psychics and astrologers in the country, and she is an amazing, amazing guest. I'm really excited to have her with us because through her psychic readings, she answers her clients' questions about everything from relationships, careers, health and finances, and life challenges and changes. And many recently have been asking about their life purpose. You should know that as a medium, Diane connects family members with those who have passed on to soothe their aching, grief-stricken hearts and to find some solace and comfort, if it's possible, and obviously it is. And Diane has also noticed an upsurge in her mediumship work because so many who have tragically lost loved ones from COVID did not get a chance to say goodbye. And you know that's really an amazing thought when you think about it, that people do turn to mediums like Diane. Anyway, Diane is on the line with us, and she's based in Litchfield, Connecticut, where it's a nice day today. And in any event, it's exciting for me to have her with us because I love to talk to people like Diane. So without any further ado, let's bring her on, folks. Here is Diane Hiller. Diane, good afternoon. How are you? Welcome aboard. Nice to have you here.
Good afternoon, Doug. Nice to be here. Thank you so much.
You know, people who think about contacting someone like you, but they don't because either they're nervous or they've just never done it. Let's talk a little bit about what actually got you into this, how you got there, and then how you help people. And I know you do this in so many different ways, but I know many people, and we're talking to a lot of people all around, are always interested in how you understood that you have these talents. How did it happen with you? Explain that to me a little bit, okay?
Well, I knew when I was very young. I had 3 near-death experiences prior to the age of 3. So by the third one, which was a near drowning, I knew that consciousness existed outside of the physical body. However, I did not understand the ramifications of it until much later in life. Also, I was fully psychic by the age of 9. I would see spirits in the house, and then I found out that when I spoke to my mother about it, who was honestly, to be honest with you, not thrilled because it is in the maternal bloodline for 5 generations. And apparently, my maternal grandmother, I just found this out about 5 years ago, got into a lot of trouble in Czechoslovakia for doing it there. So my mother was a little concerned about my abilities and pretty much told me, you know, don't do a whole lot with this because, you know, people get nervous about it. So I really didn't do a whole lot with it until later in life. But I always knew I was psychic. I was psychic from the time I was 9. I was predicting global world events. I could look at anybody and tell you what was going on. But I didn't really have full control over my abilities, I would say. Like I said, I became a nurse. I became a psychotherapist. I became a feng shui master. I worked in a very traditional career for many, many years. But it was always clear to me that, you know, these abilities were there. So when I studied feng shui, I went to New York City from 2004 to 2007, and I studied and became a certified feng shui master. During that program, I had a spiritual opening, and that was my second one, third one, and I connected with a guide, and then I started to work with a shaman. And I would say that after I started working with the shaman, it was like somebody flipped a switch, and I just had full control over all 8 clair abilities. I started talking to dead people. It was just that quick. It was like everything that I had done up until that point just culminated in me, you know, being able to do medical issues, being able to talk to the deceased. It literally was like somebody flipped a switch after I worked with a shaman and did some work with some energetic work with a shaman. I went to a metaphysical fair, and literally that next day, after I connected with another guide, I started to talk to dead people, and I had full control over all 8 clair abilities and started talking to the deceased, and it was that quick. It was like somebody flipped a light switch. It had always been there, but I didn't have control over it. You know what I mean?
You know, that's really amazing. I'm just wondering, as a child growing up, you know, going through school, elementary school, high school, did you ever do anything with these abilities? The question is, I guess, did your playmates, you know, or your classmates think you were somewhat strange or not, or didn't they know anything about
that? You know, I always felt different. And, you know, kind of a comical story is I used to talk to my mother when I was a kid, and I used to say to her, you know, I don't belong here. You know, I'm in the wrong place. I think you should call the hospital. I think you got the wrong baby. I used to drive her insane, apparently. And I always felt, you know, just different, you know, because I could be in 2 places at the same time energetically. I'm not schizophrenic, and I didn't have a diagnosable mental health disorder. But the thing, I guess, that you know, was kind of a joke was people would always call me for advice, even in the first grade. The phone would start to ring as soon as I got home from school, and my mother would be like, oh, here we go. It's like you have a sign written on your head that says, tell me your life story, and it's always been like that. So that's what led me into the helping professions of nursing and psychotherapy and all of those things. And then ultimately I just realized that, you know, through study, through feng shui and through the spiritual openings, that these gifts were very, very strong, and they became, like I said, controllable and overnight, and that's when I decided that I really needed to start working with them, and that was probably in 2008.
Wow, that's pretty fascinating. You know, you mentioned the term feng shui. A lot of people don't know what that is. Tell me, explain.
Well, feng shui in its literal translation means wind and water, but it is the Chinese, it's actually outlined in China, which is kind of funny, but it's the intuitive and practical art of bringing individuals and their environments together by managing the qi or the energy of the environment. So a feng shui master is basically trained in how to adjust qi at the most appropriate level. I actually just wrote an article on Brains Magazine that I heard was trending about feng shui and how to overlay the 9 energetic areas in the home. And so I studied that for 3 years in New York City with some pretty high-level Buddhist teachers. And that's really, it's not, there is some decorating involved in that, but it's really about adjusting the energy of the property. So from a psychic point of view, if somebody sends me their floor plan, I can tell them exactly what is going on in their life just by looking at their floor plan, believe it or not.
That sounds crazy. But,
it's crazy. It sounds crazy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But it's true. I once did a local dentist, and I did his office and I did his home, and I found the exact problems in his house that I found in his office, the exact same configurations. It's really, really interesting.
I mean, what kind of suggestions do you have for people when they send you the layout of their home and where their furniture is? What do you tell them?
It's not faced in the right direction?
Like something's going east or west?
This school of thought doesn't really focus on directionality. It focuses more on the energetic chi of the place. And it was developed by His Holiness Professor Lin Yun, who was a genius, really, and brought feng shui to the west. So what we're looking at is more the energy of the 5 elements, water, wind, fire, earth, and metal, and how they are interacting in the environment. Where is the fireplace? Where is the stove? Where are the exit doors? How is the chi flowing in and out of the property? You know, and it's not always a structural problem. I mean, there are certain structural things that are harder to correct than others. You know, for example, a fireplace in a metal area, because when we're looking at the cycle of the elements, fire overcomes metal, so it's not the best fireplace placement. So we would correct that. But we're looking at, you know, is there an extension? Is there a missing area? It's, you know, each gua, there are 9 energetic guas in a home, in a property, in each room, where it has 50 or more representations. So it's really a comprehensive look at what's going on in that house.
Well, look, if I sent you the layout of my house and you told me my fireplace was in the wrong place, I'd have to rebuild the house. You know that.
No.
I can't move a fireplace
that easily. No, not necessarily. There are corrections that can be done. They're really? Correct. You know, like when one of my teachers was interviewed on NBC or Newsweek or whatever, he said mirrors are the aspirin of feng shui. You know, so we basically do a lot with, you know, we can adjust with mirrors, we can adjust with wind chimes, we can adjust with plants, we can adjust with anything energetic. So once you understand the overcoming and destruction cycle of the elements, you know how to make the appropriate adjustments. It doesn't necessarily mean it has to be structural. Very rarely do we tell anybody to move.
Boy, oh boy. I mean, your story is so blooming amazing. But I gather you love what you're doing right now.
This is where you should be, right? Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's no question for me anymore. I mean, it became clear to me after that last opening and that last connection with that guide when I went to a metaphysical center. I literally, you know, used to go there all the time. And all of a sudden, this woman sat down in front of me, and I started to stutter. And this guy came through by name. He was involved in the murder of her mother. It's a very well-known case here. It's not going to be resolved for a long time, but she knew exactly who he was. And I just went on and on and on about the details of this death and how her mother died, and she basically confirmed everything I said. And so that was the first mediumship reading I ever did, and after that, it was just bang, bang, bang.
What do you like to do most? You know, you're a psychic. You do readings. I mean, there's so many different things that you do. Aren't they a challenge? Somebody calls you up on the phone. You know, we have people waiting to talk to you here if you want to do it. But they call up and want to know if they're going to find Mr. Wright, you know, or are they going to get an increase in their pay, or are they going to get a new job or whatever. What happened in your head? You just get the answer. It comes right to you?
I do. I actually, what I have people do is say, I grant you access to my energy field. I read with my eyes closed, whether I'm in person or over the phone, and then I have them take 3 deep breaths into the phone, and I start to see things, and I start to hear things, and I do not filter what I hear. I just listen to what I hear, and I say it. But I don't know if I answered your question. I like doing everything. The most challenging thing that I think that I do is when I do mediumship and I connect with the death of a child. That is very, very difficult. It's very difficult. Murders are difficult. Suicides are difficult. Connecting with deceased children is probably the hardest thing that I do. And I do not book more than a couple of those a day because I just can't do it. It's very, very hard. That's the hardest thing I do. And I'm not saying I don't enjoy it or find it rewarding, but it's difficult.
Yeah, I haven't really thought about that. I've talked to mediums who connect with older people. I've never heard them talk about connecting with a child.
That is the hardest thing I do, and I won't say I don't enjoy it because, and I also wait. You know, a lot of mediums don't do this, but I do. I wait 6 months for a tragic death because there's 2 reasons for that. I think there's a process of transition, and I also feel that when people are in active grief, they don't hear a word you're saying. They will latch on to anything, and they don't know if they're getting a really good reading or not, you know?
I would assume it's a parent comes to you that wants to communicate with the child. And what do they want to know? What kind of reaction do they expect from a child, or do you get from a child?
Well, you know, from a child that's developed a personality, I'll connect with that personality. But, you know, from an infant, I'm not going to get a whole lot, you know. I connect with pets as well. But usually the child will come through, and they will say something that qualifies. I am an evidential medium. So that means that they will come through with some evidence of that they're there, either their name, how they died, that they were adopted. I never know what they're going to say, to be honest with you, but I will know. They will know that they're talking, who they're talking to, because I will either give them how they died, what their name was, when they were born, what they did, what their interests were, what they looked like, usually sometimes their age, sometimes all 3. So it's very powerful in the sense that they know that that person is there.
And how about with pets? You say you communicate with pets, with animals. This could be a dog or a cat primarily.
That's correct.
For the most part,
well,
right?
The other thing I forgot to say is sometimes I see things like a movie in my head. You know, I may see the whole scene of how something happened. You know, I'm just visually seeing it while it's at the time that I'm speaking. So, and when pets, you know, honestly, the first pet reading I did, I remember this was years ago when I opened my practice. I was sitting there and I went, huh, this doesn't feel right. And I said to the woman, I said, was Betsy or Bitsy or whoever it was a person? And she said, no, actually it was a dog. I said, yeah, because the energy doesn't feel right. So the energy just feels different. So when I'm connecting with a pet, I know it's not a human being. And I very often will see an image of what the animal looked like. It was big. It was small. It was brown. It had brown eyes. It had dark hair. How it had digestive problems. You had to put it to sleep. Whatever the series of events were, they just come to me. I just hear them.
And what kind of feedback do you get from the pet to give to the owner who's trying to communicate?
Well, they usually will tell me that they're very very often, to be honest with you, people and pets are very present in the physical environment. Once they've crossed over, there is really not a division. And I have children that see spirits, and I say to them, this animal is in your house. This animal sits by the fireplace. You have a dog that jumps up and down every time this animal comes into the home. And your granddaughter says it sees this dog, and they just validate everything I'm saying.
Wow. That's fascinating.
It is fascinating. And I'll tell you, sometimes I can't even believe it, what goes on in my office.
It's strange to me because I just lost a German Shepherd that was, my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
And
they come through, and usually they'll let you know if they're around in the house, or I'll see what the animal looked like. Very often I'll get the name of the animal, or I'll say this animal ended with a Y name, or it'll be something that the animal, my guides are basically communicating to me to say to you about, what happened with this animal. Because they'll say to me that you had to put this animal down and you're still feeling very guilty about it or whatever may the case may be. It's always different in every reading, And I never know what's going to come up. I've learned to just say what I'm hearing, period.
Now, when you're doing this, you're communicating. Is the shaman the one you're communicating through?
No.
Or not?
No, I when I had the spiritual opening and the feng shui program, I connected with the Green Tara energy. That was a very powerful, it's called a Kundalini opening. It's not well known. I've written about it. It's not well known in the East, and it's kind of entailed. Then when I did, journey work into my chakras with the shaman, I connected with another guide who came and introduced themselves to me. And so then that was when I got, so I'm connected with multiple guides. I've connected with Archangel Michael. I have connected with God on 5 different occasions through readings. And they just tell me who they are. I know who they are. So I connect with the archangels. I connect with Buddhist goddesses. I connect with 2 primary guides that are mine. One is the Green Tara. God is always around. And then I've connected with Archangel Michael, and Carolyn is my other guide. Now, those are the gatekeepers. Those are the people that are transmitting the information to me from the other side. And they're always present, and they are always helping with the reading. So when people say to me, I want to talk to my guides, I say to them, well, my guides are going to communicate through yours to me. So I can tell you what realm your guides are in, but I cannot tell you who they are, because that's sort of an energetic connection that has to be made formally, in my opinion. So I hope I'm answering the question, but that's what happens.
Well, you are. This whole subject is so fascinating, and a lot of people know very little about it, and I'm sure they're as fascinated. A lot of people think this is, it's fake. There's nothing, but it's not.
I completely understand that.
Yeah. Right.
Oh, yeah. I have had people in my office sit there, look me in the face, and say to me, you're crazy. And I say, okay. I'm crazy, but write it down. Just write it down. And I just move on. And then they send me 3 people. Because I'll say, at the end of every reading, I'll say, how'd you find me? And they say, well, my friend was here about a year ago, and she was in her 50s, and you told her a baby was coming into her life. And she said, no way, you're crazy. She told you were crazy to your face. I remembered her. And she said, and then all of a sudden, lo and behold, some niece out of that she was estranged from showed up with this baby, and she's there all the time. She sent me.
It's amazing. You do this over the phone. Do you do this on just phone, or do you do Skype and things like that, or is that not necessary?
I don't need to see the person. I'm reading through the energetic vibration of their voice. So even when I'm in person, I keep my eyes closed a lot of the time because that's how I see things. But, I read people all over the world internationally. I do it on Skype voice. They do not have to be physically present.
Tell me how you go about communicating with someone on the other side, with someone who has called you up on the phone. And so they tell you. They come to you and tell you who they're trying to contact, I presume.
I ask them,
you know,
I ask
the loved
them,
one
not,
who's
I ask them not to tell me who they're trying to contact with.
So tell me what happens when somebody calls and says, listen, there's somebody I want to contact on the other side. What do you do then?
Well, I book the appointment, and to be honest with you, once the appointment is booked, I believe that they already know that they're coming. And so I always start with a psychic reading because I don't know how long it's going to take them to show up. Normally they show up within you know, 5 to 10 minutes, but I start with a psychic reading until I start to feel that, you know, I am at that point where I know they're going to come through. Now, somebody may sit down in my office, and I may say, there's a male here. I know there's a male here, but I don't feel they're strong enough. And I feel this is how they died because I start to get physical symptoms. I will get chest pain. I'll get short of breath. My voice may change. I may get dizzy. All kinds of things go on. I get physical symptoms along with, you know, the fact that I'm hearing things and feeling things at the same time. So once I get to a point where I know that, you know, something goes on, and this is why they call it mediumship. They're lowering their vibrational frequency. I'm raising mine, and we are meeting somehow in the middle. And once I know that I'm going to reliably get them, that they're pushing at me hard enough, then I will start to talk. And that's when they start to come through. And then I don't need any information for mediumship. I just start saying, I have a man here. He's telling me he died of lung cancer or whatever the case may be. I also have a woman here, you know, and then they just all start to come in at once. And I tell them that if I'm connecting with more than one person in a session, and I try to, you know, do my sessions accordingly because there's only so many I can do, say I get 3 or 4 people in a session, in a 90-minute session, I will know that, you know, I'm going to connect with those. They'll come in. They always come in all together at once. So for the first 4 or 5 minutes, I say, write down everything I say. I may get a name. I get a time frame. I'm going to get bombarded with information. Just write it all down, and by the end of the session, I'll tie it together for you. But it's very rare that I don't connect with the person that they want, and I don't even ask them. I want no information before a reading. I don't even ask them who they want to connect with.
And are they talking through you? Do you know what you're saying to them at the time? They're
Absolutely.
Using your voice to communicate, correct?
They're using my voice to communicate. My voice does not
right.
change. But
right.
I will feel them, and I will hear what they feel like. I will get a sense of their personality. I may see, you know, what happened to them physically. I will hear whatever they're saying to me, and I will get an energetic sense of what they were like in this lifetime, what their and describe that to them.
And are you in a trance of some sort or not?
Sometimes I do go into a trance, yes.
Yeah.
But I'm still aware of what I'm saying. Very often I'll go into a trance when it's trauma-based and the client doesn't really want me to know what I'm saying, but that's rare. I'm in somewhat of a trance, but I'm still aware of what I'm saying.
And can the client ask them questions through
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I'll say, I have so-and-so here. They said this and that. This is what they're saying about how they died and when they died, and they want to let you know about this. They may even, you know, call up what's going on in their life at that moment, and I'll say they're concerned about your car. It could be anything. I
yeah.
swear they're car
yeah.
obsessed on the other side. They're always talking about cars. But I could say you just got a new car, or I hear you're moving, or your father died before you had your 2 children, whatever they may say, you know. And then, you know, once they know that that person is there, then I say you can ask them whatever they want, and they will answer. And very often it gets into, you wouldn't believe it, wills, estates, missing objects. It's just, it could be anything.
Doesn't this scare you that you have this amazing ability?
I never take it for granted, and it doesn't scare me because I feel I'm very protected. You know, I know where my gifts come from. I try to remain in a light vibration. I do protective prayers before each reading. I make this space sacred. So, no, the only time I really got scared was actually my first reading when that murderer came through. I was like, this feels bad. I want this guy out of here. Ask him whatever you want. And I really haven't, because he felt like he was, like, dark, you know? So
yeah.
I said, you know, just ask him whatever you want, because I want him out of here. He feels awful to me. And I got home, and I thought, are you kidding me? The people that I work with said to me, you know, I think you've gone from the dark side to the darker side, because I was working in childhood abuse Yeah, seriously. I was working in childhood abuse and neglect at the time, and they said, what are you doing? I said, and it never happened again. That was my first reading. And then I decided, what? I had to call another psychic and say, why on earth would this horrible person who was involved in this murder come through? And then they said, well, you know, he probably had to make amends. That was his way of making amends to get out of the place where he was stuck, you know. So I don't usually get into that vibrational frequency, but that guy had to make amends, and he was very specific. I will never forget that reading.
Wow.
Mm-mm.
I want to point out, we're talking, obviously, with Diane Hiller. You're amazing, Diane, in what
you
do. Your website, anybody who's listening who wants to get in touch with you, the best way is to go to your website, which is, this is interesting, elementalempowerments.com. I assume everybody can figure out how to spell that. Elementalempowerments.com. What does that mean to you, elemental empowerments?
Well, you know, it's interesting. When I was in the Feng Shui program, we were, you know, I developed my website with the intention of doing the Feng Shui business before all of this happened. So elemental empowerments refers to the system of the five elements that I was talking about before. And then, you know, when we do a feng shui correction, we spiritually empower that, meaning that we connect with universal chi or God's chi or Buddha's chi or Christ's chi to spiritually empower the correction that we have just done to make it twice as effective as it would be, you know, the energy modification. So the elemental empowerments refers to empowering something spiritually using the system of the five elements. But later on, I realized that elemental also means fundamental. So if you look at fundamental empowerments, then it becomes everything that I do, because everything I do is about trying to empower somebody to, you know, get beyond grief, trying to empower them in their career, trying to empower. So, you know, it really, the name still works, so I kept it.
Very interesting indeed, my God. Tell me about what is some of the, you know, you've done so many different things for so many different people. What's the most common thing that people come to you for? Is this a psychic reading?
For psychic readings, it's past, present, future, but I only go into the past as it relates to now. So, you know, most commonly it's about love. It's about a job. It's about money. It's about health. I do a lot of health readings. I didn't want to do those, but I'm doing them now. I've been doing them for a long time. But it's, you know, your basic stuff. When am I going to get my job? When do you see me moving? When will my house sell? You know, when am I going to meet the right guy? You know, those kinds of things.
And have you ever kept track on how accurate you are and what you're telling to your clients?
I have had people, I would say that the very best of us, when I rank things on probability, and there are three things I will not predict. I don't predict death, I don't predict negative events that can't be prevented, and I don't predict exact pregnancy days. And trust me, there's long stories behind all of those. But
sure.
I've been told, you know, I think the very best of us are about 85% accurate. I have been tested formally. My accuracy rate, they told me, was off the charts. I have had clients tell me I'm 100% accurate. I don't think that it's possible to be 100% accurate all the time. I think because there is always – I rank things up to 80% because of the free choice and free will variable. So, you know, I can give somebody a reading and I say, you know, I don't think this guy is the right guy. I think there's somebody else coming in 6 months, and I see him, and this is what he looks like. And if they decide to stay in that relationship, then they've prolonged the timeline. They may not have changed the outcome, but they may have prolonged the timeline. And you know, I think the very best of us are 80 to 85% accurate because of the free choice and free will variable.
And do people call you back afterwards and tell you to give you straight answers? Hey, look, this
very
is great.
Often,
thank you so much.
Yeah, or they write me a review. Or, you know, I just read somebody last week. She said she's paid for four people this week.
My gosh. Well, listen, Diane, you're an amazing lady, and obviously you know what you're talking about. You know what
Thank
you're doing.
You.
Diane Hiller. We went through the half hour just like that, Diane. I wish I had more time.
Wow, it felt like 10 minutes.
I know. Again, Diane Hiller is her name. And listen, here's the website, elementalempowerments.com. Write that down, folks. Elementalempowerments.com. It's a mouthful, but it's great. Diane, thank you for your time. I hope we can do this again sometime, okay?
I hope so, too. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. All righty. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye.
That's it for today, everybody. Hope you enjoyed this. Hope you learned something. I know I did. Boy, that's amazing.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.
That we do. I'm Doug Llewellyn, everybody. See you next time. Till then, take care. Bye for now.